Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, parents and kids, I have two questions for you. How many parents have used this phrase on their kids? I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. Raise your hands. Come on. Okay, some of you haven't, so good. All right, so here's another question. How many of you, and you can say both of this because parents, yes, you are still kids. You're still your mother. As my mom likes to remind me, you're still my child, and I can take you out of the world just as I put you in it. How many of you have heard something like this in your lives? You are a reflection of us. Yeah, that's a little bit older, maybe some other iteration, but we've all had that kind of sayings. And I say that there is nothing more scary and more soul-crushing to hear a parent say, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. This is a problem. Because we often remember that as children, we are in God's family. We are a reflection of the wonderful, beautiful salvation of Jesus Christ. We are called the children of God. And that's amazing. That's wonderful. But whose are you? Because at the same time that we are beloved children of God, meant to do His will, we still, on the other hand, sin. We are in a very odd place living in this world. We are children of the Heavenly Father, and yet so often, we almost feel like we can hear when we do a sin or an action against the will of God, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. Except He is mad. And that's worse. There's a divide between us and God. And the question then becomes, when we go out into the world, when the world sees us, who do they see? The question becomes, whose are you? I like to say that us Christians have this problem by ourselves, but it's not true. Because Jesus had this same problem. We see it in Mark today. Mark is a wonderful chapter, quick in a wonderful book. It's quick, it's fun, it's fast, an hour and a half to read all the way through if you listen to it, like a movie. And in this part of the movie, we get to almost the second act. The act of when Jesus is in the world doing His work and He's being assaulted. He's being persecuted. He's being tested against what He is saying. And so we have now in Mark chapter 3, probably one of the most telling parts of His gospel. The question of whose does Jesus belong to? To whom does He belong? We have three answers that are given to us. The first one is the crowds. Jesus has just called the 12 apostles right before this. He has called them by name to send them out into the world. And yet, now He gathers to go home. He gathers His disciples and they go to His hometown. And the crowds come after Him. The gospel kind of foretells and kind of alludes to the feeding of the 5,000. When there are so many people gathered around Jesus' home that He can't even eat, and neither can the crowds. This has got His parents, or I should say His mother and His brothers and sisters. His dad, unfortunately Joseph, his stepdad, was long dead by this time. But the oldest brother is now there, and crowds are surrounding Him. So much so that even the crowds can't eat, let alone Jesus. So His family comes out and they say, He's out of His mind. What a way to come home. You get your mom and you get all this stuff. You think you have all this great accomplishments and you have your come home and your family says, are you out of your mind? Yeah, it's a real great welcome home to Jesus. But they were concerned. Wouldn't you be? Here is a grown man walking around in the desert with 12 other men. Surrounded by a flock of followers coming after Him. And now He's drawn the attention of the Sanhedrin, the council, the Jewish elders, the ruling body of the people. And they are coming down And while you are saying he's out of his mind, they are saying something quite different. He's a demon. This man is not casting out demons in the name of God. He's casting out demons in the name of Satan, Beelzebul, which is just a very tacky way of saying a son of Baal, which is a Mesopotamian god. They weren't really too big on semantics. They just wanted to get a bad name on Jesus. And so they are saying, you're casting out demons by the power of Satan. You are not God's child. You don't belong to him. You belong to Satan. So the question becomes, who does Jesus belong to? The crowds? As a miracle worker? His family? As a son? Or are the people in Jerusalem right? Does he belong to Satan? Jesus confronts this with a parable, like he often does. And it kind of hits home to the problem that we have today. He says, a kingdom against itself cannot stand, and a house divided itself cannot stand. So if Satan is divided against Satan, Satan is coming to an end. That might sound like an odd thing to say, because isn't that a good thing? We want Satan to come to an end. But the problem is, if it's by the way that the Jewish people are telling him, by Beelzebul, that he's driving out demons, then it really isn't Satan coming to an end. Jesus wouldn't be the almighty God who is casting out demons. He'd be middle management, kind of, you know, switching around and putting places where demons are, saying, okay, you can't go here, you can go here. But that's not what's happening. What's happening is not being divided against itself. It's utter and complete destruction. Jesus comes into the world, and he says, a man cannot take from a strong man's house without first binding him. And so every time that Jesus has come and done a miracle, every time he's forgiven a sin, every time he has cast out a demon, he takes strong binding cords, wraps it around Satan, so Satan cannot move as he saves the people from their sins. And this is important, because it's addressing the problem that Jesus is talking about, division. We saw it in the Old Testament reading today, that first division between God and us. We're now standing on that division. When Satan entered into the world, when sin entered into the world, cast division between you, me, and God. This division has caused so many problems. We've seen it reflected in our own lives. Families divided. Children lost. Nation rising against nation. Death. Disease. War. Uncertainty. This is not what God had planned. But yet there's a divide. We see what happened with this divide. God said to Adam, cursed is the land that you work. Division between man and nature. To the woman, cursed are you in childbearing, and you will want for your husband's place. Division between man and a wife. Between families, between each other. And this is terrible. Because then whose do we belong? We belong to God at one point, but now that there's this divide, a chasm so wide, a wall so high that it casts a shadow of death over the entire world. A chasm so deep that it reaches to the pits of hell itself. And we can't cross it. We are divided against God. And as Christ said in his own words, it cannot stand. We are doomed to die. This is why Jesus says of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus was doing God's work. We couldn't cross over the wall. We couldn't cross over the chasm. So God himself came down. He bridged that barrier. He came into our world, and he was forgiving people their sins. He was the one who was doing the work. He was telling them truth. And the only way that anything could be done by that, the only way that you couldn't be saved, is by not hearing it, by not believing it, by hearing it and thinking, no, this is not God's work, even though the evidence is in their faces. For all sins will be forgiven except the sin against the Holy Spirit, the sin of saying there is a divide and we can't do anything about it, the sin of unbelief. So what then? What does it look like? Whose are you? Jesus answers this. When all the people were still gathered around in his house, probably also those same scribes coming from Jerusalem, someone comes into the house. He says, hey, Jesus, your mom and your brothers and are out there. They want you to come out to them. It was so crowded that they couldn't even reach him. Jesus looks around and he says, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking around, he said, these are my mother and my brothers. These are my children. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my mother and my sister. In this way, we see exactly how Jesus does this. How does he say whose we are? Well, he's God's. For he does the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father above all else but to forgive the people their sins? That's the whole reason Jesus came. The will of the Father was to forgive a broken people. The will of the Father was not only to climb over the wall of sin that divides us from him, but to completely destroy it, to close the gap, to come as a humble servant, to come as a Savior, to make you complete on a cross. And even then, we see what Jesus does. We say to whom he belongs to. Because even though he still belongs to the Father in heaven, and on that wonderful moment of the cross, he belongs to the world by shedding his blood upon it for the forgiveness of all their sins, he even still is a son, saying to his mother in his dying words and to his disciple John, woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. Because there is completion. For in Jesus there is no division, but unity through him. So whose are you? You are Christ. To whom do you belong? Is it the world? Or even your own families? No. You are God's. You are beloved child of Christ. For you who are baptized into him, you've been given the same Spirit that you might live with him forever. And he gives you his own body and blood, which we partake today, so that we can be sustained in this life, connected with not only him, but with each other and all the saints who came before. For you have a very large family now in Christ. To whom do you belong? You are Christ. We do the will of our Lord, forgiving each other our sins, proclaiming the majesty of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We go and do the work of the Lord, not because we are saved by these works, but because we can't help it. We are sons and daughters of the King, and we do his will. It's hard. And many times there'll be the question of who do we belong to? But never forget, you are Christ. Never forget, you are loved. Never forget to do his will. And never forget that he will come again. Amen.